We're going to have Mike and Gwen Cribbs come up here and talk to us. They've had 5 weeks in Moldova and 5 weeks of ministering and watching God work in their lives. So I'm going to let them come on up here. I'm not going to have them share from there because I want you to see it. Actually, we've got Madison, who is back here today from Honduras. Next week, we'll see if we can get her to share a little bit. And we've got John Pratt, who's not quite back yet, from Paraguay. Think about that. We're not that big a church to have 3 people on the mission field right now. But that's a wonderful thing. Now, Mike and Gwen have spent 5 weeks, and I'll let you guys come on the side here so the microphones are not in your way. They've spent 5 weeks in Moldova. They've been in 15 different cities ministering in police stations and fire stations, orphanages. They even went to a seminary. They've been to churches. They've had banquets for policemen, pastors' banquets. Mike has preached, I think, 10 times, which was a wonderful experience for him. And I take it from Gwen's reaction there, a wonderful experience listening to it. They did door-to-door evangelism, where they not only had opportunities to encourage believers, and they did a lot of that as they went to churches and stuff, but they also had the opportunity to see people come to Christ. And so it was just a wonderful experience, and I'm just going to let you share a little bit from it. But first I want to ask you, Mike, just as a big takeaway, if you could kind of condense down and say, this is just one overwhelming thing that God showed me through this trip, what would that be?
I thought about playing games with your mind, which you warned me not to do, but I won't. But as we were going through this trip, it was quite apparent, obvious, that this was a trip of divine appointments. The stage was already set before we ever got there. Prayer answered. All we had to do was be faithful and show up. Divine appointments again, again, and again. It just was breathtaking.
And it's really cool as you grow in that and you start to realize that and you experience that, especially intensely like you did, where you realize that God really is ahead of you. And God really does have a plan for your life. And that everywhere you go, there are divine appointments that God can use you in greatly if you'll just stop and see them. And you had the opportunity to experience a lot of those things, and it does produce. And one of the things that I think is so neat, and yes, kind of like we said, this is a divine appointment right here. And so when people come up, I do tell them, I say, hey, look, you need to get the facts, ma'am. Get it out there because we want to know what God did. And so I did. I did kind of tell him that because after 5 weeks, he could talk for hours.
But, you bet. I could take over.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let you. But thanks for asking. But if you want to talk with him about a lot of experience, they could talk for a long time. But I just want you to give me one instance there. Tell me a story of a way that just amazed you that you saw that, you know, how many of you prayed? Well, I won't ask you that. I know a lot of you prayed because every time Mike has gone, this is his
sixth
trip. Every time he's gone, he's come back sick. And this is the first time that he has gone. Of course, we all prayed that he would not be sick because it's not like he's getting younger. But he was actually exposed to more opportunities to get sick this time than ever before and did not get sick. So your prayers were answered.
Absolutely.
But you also had the opportunity to see that you were the answer to prayers that God brought 5,000 miles to become an answer to someone's prayer, and you experienced that. Just give us an example of that.
We were in the village of Petrovka, and it is a very small agricultural-based village, and staying with a pastor named Gregory. And Gregory, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5", if you could picture the lean, mean Russian soldier, he used to be in the Russian army. And a grin that was literally from ear to ear, big teethy grin. When he saw me, he said, "Michael," and gave me a hug, made my back crack. Oh, man, just a big old guy. We were there. and having lunch on Saturday when one of the children came in crisis mode. And what had happened, one of their, he raises honey, has three dairy cattle, and does whatever jobs he can do on the side. He used to leave the country, make money, come back, but he decided God didn't want him to do that, so he does what he can do there. And he came in, and what had happened, one of the cattle that they milk every day and sell the milk, one of the cattle had fallen into a trough and couldn't get out. They went out, got it out, but it died. And this cow was with calf, so it was a double loss. And if this had happened a few days earlier, he probably would not have told us. That's just the way they are. Or after we left, he probably wouldn't have told us. We wouldn't have gotten word. But it happened right in the middle of our visit, no getting around it. They were able to get the meat processed, but this was a serious impact upon their finances and their livelihood. Well, Ken Ward, who team leader, got word back to the U.S., didn't ask anybody for anything, but got the word back to be praying. Well, they collect enough money back here in Rome, Georgia, to replace the cow twice over, plus fix his car, which was on its last leg. And that's all well and good. The money's here in America, but it doesn't do any good over there. Another team just happened to be going in a couple of days. They were going to Ukraine. They brought the money over, brought it over to Moldova, delivered it to him. And he was just blown away, just totally blown away. He looked at a couple of cattle. This is not the time of year to buy a cow. You know, not this time of year. But he looked at a couple were not suitable. But just before we left, we got a call that in a village long ways off, he found a cow. Couldn't go get it. He didn't have a trailer. That's okay. The owner had a trailer. Delivered it to him. This cow was with calf. God, what the enemy, Satan, intended for evil, God used for good. And we were able, as a body of Christ, to show our love and our power of our God thousands of miles away. Mm-hmm. Divine appointment.
It is amazing. And really, you know, there were answers probably to other prayers besides the one that you guys got that were there. How did what did it make you feel inside to see that, you know, God could have met that need any way that he wanted to, but in his divine providence and desire for you to be able to be a part of his work, he arranged all those things for you to be at that time and just for all those pieces to fill apart, and you got to see it all. What did that produce inside of you?
Oh, man. Just a joy unspeakable. I mean, our God, glory to our God, just praise and worship, and our God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's our God.
That's the two realities. Let me tell you, you can go to Moldova and you can look around. If you're looking for trouble, if you're looking for chaos, if you're looking for hard times, you can find them. If you're looking for things to be depressed about, they're everywhere. But if you're looking for what God's doing, you can see that too.
Amen.
And it produces worship inside of you. Gwen, just want to let you share one experience that you had there that was another just incredible answer to prayer.
So many. And I already give up on not snotting and slobbering because I know I will. We met on Tuesdays for Fellowship of Christian Police Officers, and there was so many burdens. And this one guy, his name is John, and he had cancer, 8 surgeries, and he has to wear a colostomy bag. And over there, if you don't have money, then medical is not a thing that you can readily get available. And so he talked about having to get colostomy bags every once in a while, and they're the wrong size. They had to dig. He had to cut them out. And he also his wife left him because he became a Christian. On top of all that, he had the love of God, and God touched my heart. So I made a phone call to Felicia, my daughter, and said, is there any way that we can get colostomy bags for this guy? And so there was some people in the church, and they couldn't make contact. So she started looking on the internet, calling companies, and she found some companies that actually would donate the colostomy bags. And so she worked with them, and they said they could ship them pretty quickly, but it was within the timeline of, back up the story. So she could get the colostomy bags. When they'd get there, that was a question. But then we had a fourth guy that was part of the team that was going to come for the last week that we were going to be there. So we thought, okay, maybe we can get the bags, you know, get them to him and get them to Moldova, which would be awesome. But, you know, that was God's work. So we worked, and on top of that, the guy that was coming, he by faith bought his ticket to fly to Moldova, but his passport was under just slightly under 6 months, so he had to update it. So he was waiting on his passport to come in, as well as everything else. And so within 2 days before the colostomy bags came in that were supposed to be delivered after his name is Mark. Mark was to fly to Moldova, but they came early. God set it up. And then Felicia made contact with Ken Ward's wife, met. She delivered the bags within a day and a half of when Mark finally got his passport the day before he was supposed to fly. And so it all worked together. it made it to Moldova, but then they're so corrupt over there. And the customs guys kept pushing, well, how much did this cost? You know, they wanted the team to pay money to get the colostomy bags. And by bringing John, and that is the name of the guy that had the colostomy bags needs, and we were to surprise him, and he was to show up to pick up our last guy, Mark. And they were going through customs, they were going through the bags, and they kept saying, and on the box, the company had stamped free gift. So we kept saying, it's a free gift. We don't know the price, the cost. And finally, after about over an hour, they let us have the bags. And that guy, it was awesome. He was so humbly grateful, and it all came together, and it shouldn't have, but by God's grace.
And it's just really wonderful to see, and you know, you can see the emotion she's got because she saw what the Spirit of God did in that man's heart as he saw his prayers answered and as he saw God take care of him in ways that he didn't think were going to happen. And it's just amazing as you look back, and that's those two realities. It's why God tells us don't look at the temporal things. You got a guy who wants to go on the mission trip and he doesn't have a passport and he can't go. Our tendency is to think this is a huge problem. But looking back after we see how God is actually in control of everything, it was an enormous blessing.
Yes.
And God is in control of everything in our lives. And if we walk by faith in Him, we can experience it. What He's describing here is really the normal Christian life. It's what we should all be experiencing in our lives, the presence and the power and the work of God. I'm just going to tell you one more thing because I know we need to move on. But one last thing that Gwen did that she was looking forward to was she got to sign language. You know, I can't do it. So I think this is a rock and roll one.
I love you.
They were there doing some sign language, and they went to an orphanage, and there were some deaf people there, and she was signing, and there was a trouble. People didn't know what the communication was, but Gwen did. And so she she kind of straightened them out and told them what the kids were signing, and then they all started signing. Is this it?
No.
No. Okay. Well, that this which means I love you.
One thumb up.
Oh, sorry. Okay, there we go. All right. So she's doing, the kids are all doing this because they don't have anyone to communicate with them. And it's like God sent two Christians along and all of a sudden somebody sees them and interacts with them. And they've got somebody who's not just talking to everybody else and they're left out because they're deaf. They're pulled in. They're greeted. And God spoke to them and they reacted with gratitude. And saying, we love you, we love you, we love you. That's us sharing the love of God. And that's really what we do during this part of our worship as we come. And we actively worship God by greeting one another and sharing the love. So let's take a few minutes and let's do that.